It's time for the second funniest podcast with your hosts, the Kevin Miller and Justin Wersch. Have fun, guys.
Well, thank you, Sam. Hello and welcome to the second funniest podcast. This is episode 427. I'm your host, Justin Wersch. And with me, as always, is the alpha to all of our betas, the sequel to all of our prequels, the fighter in all of our hearts, the one, the only, the KevinMiller.com. Jump, press circle button, Kevin.
Buy some Clorox.
And I don't know what you mean. There's a lot of options.
It's a callback to earlier in the week.
Okay.
You should buy Clorox. How many beers have you had tonight?
Three.
Good for you.
Doing good. I like it. It's good.
You live close.
I feel like the most interesting man in the world.
Yeah. How many does it take to become the most interesting man in the world?
I think you have to do the Roman numeral of these.
That's an interesting spin on it. Do you think that by drinking them, that you feel like you become the most interesting man in the world?
I think that's exactly what they're saying. But weirdly enough, I don't know if anybody's ever heard the most interesting man in the world interviewed. I heard him on the Adam Carolla podcast.
He's got a very high, kind of dorky voice.
And he is
boring.
Yeah. He's boring as all get out. And to put it in the way that Adam Carolla did, a little pee-whipped. His wife is his agent. And it was the one who helped him get the gig, and he's, you know, he doesn't want to say anything out of turn or like he's a guy who advertises beer and is supposed to do like, I'm a guy and I'm the most interesting
man. Man's man.
Well, whatever. I don't want to make her angry. Like,
wow.
You know, like, yeah,
good for him.
Not that the goal should be to make your loved one.
No, but yeah. Anytime.
When you're me, it is. I try when I can to make Natalie
She's
angry.
Generally in tears.
Yeah, that's
most,
you know,
of the times.
Everybody has their own different way of showing love. I show it in the opposite. That's how I do it.
It is interesting how Dos Equis and their campaign for the most interesting man in the world. He has that slogan, I don't always drink beer, but when I do, I prefer Dos Equis. As if to say, if I have to have a beer, I guess Dos Equis will do. It's like they're so over it. And I've noticed that other beer people are doing the same thing. Heineken Light has this weird, like, handlebar mustache ad that's running right now of, like, the guy with a handlebar mustache and the problems that it causes. And then he goes into, like, a 1920s boxing arena with a dude with an authentic handlebar mustache, and he somehow knocks him out and stuff. And he says, and then at the end it says, like, it's just a picture of him holding the beer up to his mustache and stuff. And it says, occasionally perfect. Like, you can't even, like, this is the new trend. You're like, I don't know. You know,
I feel like
we don't need you to drink our beer.
Right.
So we're going to make it whether or not you buy it.
I feel like I would do the opposite. Like, if I was the head of a marketing company, like, I would do the, like, you know, like.
You would Taco Bell it?
Yeah, like primary, like, you do, like, some slander ads where it's like, I don't always drink Dos Equis. But when I do, I'm a douche.
Oh, you would just take it to the extreme.
Yeah, I would just take out. I would get a guy who looks like him. And
it is funny. Yeah, well, because that's what Miller and Bud did. Remember? They had that whole campaign. I can't remember who started, but they had that campaign of, like, throwing the flag and, oh, you brought the wrong beer to the party. That's a foul. You need this beer. And then whichever one did the opposite, they showed that those refs were actually stealing the beer and running away with, we got the good beer. And everybody's like, hey, where'd they take our beer? To and I walked away from that being like, I don't know what to think. What am I drinking and why is there a foul? And
mission accomplished.
Do I want the guys to take it? Do I not? Maybe they shouldn't be in my house. That's the bottom line.
You're just crying, going, I'm just gonna drink Pabst Blue Ribbon.
I don't want it.
I don't care anymore.
$3.
And then there's a spotlight in the corner and goes, hi. I'm Billy D. Williams, and I enjoy Colt 45 malt liquor.
When I am forced to drink beer on camera for money, I choose Colt 45 because they're the ones giving me the money.
Nothing quenches my thirst like betraying a dear friend and trying to bed his lady friend.
Isn't it fascinating, as I'm wearing my Star Wars t-shirt, I've been thinking about this lately, about how deeply embedded Star Wars is into our culture. Mm-hmm. Like, there just seems to be a never-ending stream of references, and nobody's ever going, hey, you know what, I'm on the leader references, we're done. No one ever says, may the force be with you, that's tired. That's from 1977.
Stop saying that.
Yeah. It's like, you could say, these aren't the droids you're looking for, and it will always get a laugh. It's like the heart song of our nation right now, and has been for a long time. It's like the, and it has that same sort of feeling like, oh, yeah, you remember that movie that was out a long time ago. I'm like, no, you made that reference an hour ago to These Aren't the Droids We're Looking
For.
It's
like what happens when you find out that your wife hasn't seen the movies. Like,
everybody's
like, what?
Why? How have you not?
Why have
you not seen it?
I always have the urge to hug people that haven't seen the movies. Like, what? Your poor childhood. Who would hold you from this? Like, my son, I hope that if the way the world is going the way I think it is going, my son, and maybe my sons, we'll see how the second one, what he's into. But my son is going to have the coolest, like, history of entertainment. Like, he's into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And America. Like, those are his two top favorite things right now.
Right now.
And then occasionally it's like, you know what, I like the Hulk. You know, like that kind of, like, that's what he's into. And he's also seen He-Man.
Iron Man every now and then.
He's kind of lost Iron Man, although I think the Avengers might bring it back. It was weird. It's funny to me how that works out. And I know this is what we're supposed to talk about, so I'm going to make it brief. But it's funny to me that Captain America, in my opinion, to a three-year-old, should be the least interesting superhero. It just doesn't make sense.
He's a robot. Oh, Captain America. I'm sorry. Right. I heard Iron Man. I'm like, he's a robot.
Exactly. You have a Norse god. All right. A big green dude that's indestructible.
That's cool.
And a robot playboy who's hilarious.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there's a hot chick and a guy who could shoot a bow and arrow. And my kid chooses the dude
filler
in blue who can throw a shield.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what he loves.
I don't get it.
He loves him.
And it's like, it's a reference to an era that's gone.
Right. Yeah, it's
most people who fought in World War II are no longer with us.
Right.
Why? Why do we care?
I don't know. He loves Captain America.
He has the most uninteresting powers.
Right.
He's just
good. He has none.
Good. Did you know he can wield Thor's hammer?
No, I did
not. I found this out on another radio show that Thor often refers to him as his hammer brother. He's the only mortal that is able to wield Thor's hammer because he has two traits that allow him to do it. One, that he's an augmented human, so he's like human plus, giving him the strength. And two, he is pure of heart, because that's how Thor is able to pick up the hammer, is that he's pure of heart. Arrogant, but pure of heart. I don't know how this.
Well,
he's
not arrogant now. He had. I don't know if you saw the movie, but he had a
became
moment
pure
of
heart.
He learned him. He found himself in a small town in New Mexico.
Don't we all?
Yeah, I need to go to New Mexico.
Find them aliens. Yeah. Get them aliens out.
What were we supposed to talk about again this episode?
We have so many things. I'm glad you brought up the Marvel movies, because those are good. We've got the big news, of course, is that Sly will be featured in the new game called PlayStation
Battle Royale.
Yeah, it had an earlier title called Title Fight, let's discuss that briefly.
Okay.
Is that a better name?
Title Fight versus Battle Royale.
Yeah, it's something more than that. It's like PlayStation Armageddon Battle Royale 2000.
Now, this is the same concept, though, as Heroes on the Move, right? So it's a fighting game, but
it's
with Sly.
It's Super Smash Brothers Melee.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like they're using all the Sony characters, and they're creating a fighting game, whereas Heroes on the Move is more of a, like a
those are mini games.
Game.
Yeah, those are mini games.
Like
with
a Mario Party.
Yeah.
Sort
that's
of, but
putting
mixed
it
with, like, Olympics.
Yeah, it's Mario Party. It's like they saw Mario Party and thought they could do it with those characters. You know, it was okay.
My son loved it. He played it at one of the...
I was supposed to let you borrow it.
Yeah, but he played... I was changing blinds in a unit, and they had it, and he was playing it and doing really well. And he's like, we got to get this game.
Do you have it?
No.
Oh, you can take it home with you tonight. Because I haven't played it. I played me a couple times. I'm like, okay, well, that was
fun.
That happened.
Yeah.
It was good. Thanks
Why
for
not?
The money.
Why not do it?
That game didn't quite come together. But the I'm excited for this game. I'm trying to see announced the five characters that came in. But, of course, Sly is one of them. And it's fascinating. I think I can share this. Why? Sure. They told me I could. They told me I could talk about it. I don't know if they told me they could talk about this.
Can you talk about, we may have to edit or whatever, but can you talk about how you've been recording all this week?
That's what I'm going to say. I can tell you that. I put that on my website that we recorded for a solid, this past week we had to push the podcasts because I had four sessions in 5 days, which never happened. Two on one day, which doesn't happen very often. And they were for Battle Royale was for one of the sessions.
Oh.
And the rest were for Thieves in Time. But what's fascinating is I actually recorded the first session for Battle Royale, gosh, I think last year.
Wow.
And they brought us in, they brought me in, brought us in, us as in me. And
you and that raccoon that lives in your head.
Yeah, exactly. He sounds just like me.
With a whispery tone.
I was playing Sly the other night. I was playing Sly 3 because every now and then I just get in the mood. After doing sessions often, I feel like playing the games because I'm like, oh, yeah, I miss those guys. It's fun to do those games. And Kat couldn't handle it. She's like, I don't like that you're coming out of the screen. it doesn't seem right. I'm like, this is it, honey. This is who you married. This is the guy.
Your wife has the weirdest thing.
She's like this doesn't make any sense. How are you inside the television? Like, it's not. I'm acting. Acting. I'm a household name.
I just like the idea that I know that it was really like it was just more was like more this like, is kind of weird.
It's kind of weird, yeah.
But
yeah.
I like the heightened version of it where it's like, well, I don't like you coming out of the TV. Stop coming out of the TV.
The thing is like I've really I forget when I watch the game. I know, and that may seem stupid or whatever, but like Sly has become this other, this thing. Like it's to the point now in sessions where I start to, when I'm really loopy, because sometimes the sessions go long and you're saying the same thing over and over again and you get tired, you get these headphones squeezing your head and they're making you listen to it again and again. So I get a little weird. But to entertain myself, sometimes I'll make the facial expressions of how they animate Sly, because he has really big facial expressions. Yeah. Like he's like, big eyes and slow, like squinty and sneaks and moves around and he kind of smirks sometimes. And I'm like, well, I don't know what's driving what, because can I use the character to interpret the voice? But I see him as like, because he doesn't sound exactly like me. I do affect my voice a little, which comes out when I scream, because then there's always like a little thing that's on there, which brings me to Battle Royale. They brought us in for the session, Sly and me, last year. And we get in there and they, you know, it's just a sheet usually of sounds. It says, three times. Ooh, three times. Bruh, three times. And what they mean is, you know, small, medium, large, you know, like a small hit and then a big hit and then a hard hit. And you just do that at nauseam and then they select one of the 50 in there that they all sound the same and that's the one they use. So we get into this Battle Royale session back when it was Title Fight and they have all those and I'm like, they're like, okay, so give us a good, like a strong hit. Huh. They're like, okay, this is the medium hit, so bigger than that. I was like, okay, so, ha! They're like, no, bigger than that. I'm like, we're still on medium hit? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, okay. Ha! They're like, okay, yeah, that's good. All right, now let's go large hit. I'm like, all right. So I'm like, yeah. I can do it, so it's not what Sly does, but I'm like, I mean, I can yell into your microphone if that's what they're like, okay, give us a big hit. And so I kind of pull it back a little, and they're like, no, really, just like big, big power hit. I'm like, ah! They're like, okay, yeah, that's good. Okay, so give us a few more of those. And I went, wow, you guys are really, this is big for Sly. And they're like, oh, yeah, because they're dealing with however many characters. I mean, it's how many characters are it? So they're dealing with several different franchises. It's not like they're the experts in Sly. So like, well, you would know, I mean, is this abnormal? I'm like, yeah, like that amount of vocality is usually saved for end boss kind of projection. Like this is the last scene of the game and Sly will be like, why? Yeah. And they're like, well, here's the thing is that there's a lot happening. You know, it's several characters fighting at the same time. There are weapons flinging, ambient noise happening. I mean, it's an old-fashioned fighter game, you know, and there's just noise, music playing, sound effects, all that stuff. And they're like, you just feel like you're going to get lost in there if you're not big. And I was like, well, you know, you're the developer. Yeah, sounds great. Yeah! Cut to 4 months later. Beep, boop, 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 boop. Hey, so we need you to come back in and record these lines. So I drive all the way out there and I'm like, yeah, this looks familiar. There's some story stuff, which is great. There's going to be actual, like, what happens when these characters meet each other. So it'll be fun. I won't tell you who Sly has a scene with, but it was pretty great. And I'll tell you off, Mike. but then they go.
Poor listeners.
Oh, well, I can't tell you. I signed an NDA. They were like, they go, oh, please tell everybody Friday. Tell the whole world that you're in this game. We want everybody to know. Yes, Sly's one of the launch characters that we're saying are in the game. Great. And they're like, but don't mention this. And don't mention that. Don't tell them who's in the scene. Don't tell them these characters. And they're like, don't tell them it's this, this, and this, and this. Just tell them that the game exists. Got it. So we get in there, and we're recording the session, and it's the same, like, grunts and attacks and things. And I'm like, didn't we get some of this? They're like, yeah, our feedback was that you were too big. I'm like, cool. All right, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it smaller.
I know the raccoon in my head, bitches.
That's it. That's where it's at. And it's cool because it's fascinating that after playing this character for so long and always working with Sucker Punch, now that we're starting to see Sly in other games and show up in other places to where it's that they're listening to me. Like, I have a pretty good memory for stuff in general. So I remember, and I love games, and I love that kind of stuff. So I'm pretty big geeky. So I like that they trust me. We were in a session for Sly Thieves in Time last week, and they're like, oh, yeah, we need to do a write-in line. You're going to say, oh, yeah, that's the spire jump. And I go, you mean the ninja spire jump? They're like, oh, is it the ninja spire jump? Yeah, it's the ninja spire jump. They're like, okay, well, you would know. All right, so it's the ninja spire jump. That's the line. So I'm really
cool
liking
that
it.
Must be to be able to like.
It happens very rarely.
I know, but still, like, you know, how often in any industry like this, yeah, you know what yeah. I mean, where it's like where you get to be, usually the actor is kind of like toted, but at the same time on the lower rung of the totem pole.
That's the thing, and that's the thing that's so great.
But they
so
kind of trust you to know your craft, yeah. Know what you're doing. And
that, Sansura, which is the old adage of hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil, that's what that means, Sansura. It's the three monkeys. It's an old wise tale.
Isn't that their logo, the monkeys?
It's one monkey with the plus, then they have an expanded monkey with all three of the monkeys that look kind of cool. One of the developers had it. But, you know, Chris Borders is our director on this, and he helped cast it, and he was very kind, but he's promoting himself when he says, I think we have the best cast of any game that I've ever done, or maybe said that exists. And you look at it, and I don't know what we know, what cast members out there, but as we discuss, I'm like, wow, those are big names. We know Nolan North is in it, and he took the core cast, the like three of us that have done all the games, and there's a few other characters that show up from older sessions and then or older games, and then he went out of his way and he pulled in some favors, and he's got some really talented voice actors in this game. It's going to be very exciting, I think.
Yeah, I started listening to Rob Paulson's podcast, Talk, and they refer to Nolan North as like the king of video game voiceovers.
Yeah, he's the guy.
He's the one that when they need it done,
and that's Rob Paulson saying something.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Like, he's the king of animation,
right?
And when he says someone else is the king, you listen. Those are different kingdoms.
Yeah.
And he is. Nolan North is in Guild Wars 2. He's the playable male character when you choose him. I'm like playing through. I'm like, hey, wait a minute, that's Nolan North. And during the beta, I kicked myself when the beta was over because I wanted to say something like, hey, great, some great voice acting in here. Some of it's great. Some of it's not so great. You're like, love hearing Nolan North. Let's get some more guys in there, like James Arnold Taylor. Or Kevin Miller. So everybody sign up for the Guild Wars 2 beta and drop my name.
Kevin Miller.
I auditioned a couple times.
This could be your Clorox.
Dude, I'm telling you, I want it so bad. It's to the point where I'm like, I'll do it for free, but I know they're probably done with casting. But I auditioned a few times, and it's funny because the agencies don't always know who's making the project. They don't know. They'll just put it under some fake name. But I know Guild Wars so well that I'm like, no, that's like
you
they
audition
say.
For it without
I read it, and I'm like, oh, no, that's Guild Wars, because they're like, oh, this suit was made by the Ori 200 years ago. I'm like, oh, this is the Guild Wars story. I know this very well. I know that character. I know that race of people. And even though they called it Elder Scrolls,
when you
it was
submitted,
very funny.
You should, like, you should have said, hello, my name is Kevin Miller, and oh, the Battle of the Ori. Like, listen, I'll do this for free.
My agent would cut it out. He would be like, no, you won't. I'm like, I'll pay my agent his 10.
Listen, I'll do this for free.
Yeah.
And I'll pay you your 10. Just send this through. Edit this part out, obviously.
You just cut it.
All right, I'm going to give you 12 to cover the time that you're editing all this out.
Seriously, I'll split it with you.
I just want to be
split it with you.
In this game.
Well, I'm hoping to see him at E3 because I'm going this year, and just throw myself on their mercy and be like, please. Please, you have no idea how many hours of my life you've taken, Guild Wars. Please put me in your game. Please, Mr. Guild Wars.
I just, even if you're an ancillary, like, hey, over here. Like,
I don't care. Just so that my resume, just so I can play the game and find me in
it's
it.
It's interesting.
Oh, just to be a part of
that's
the
That's like
party.
Me and Jimmy Kimmel right now. Like, yeah. I'm dying to do a stand-up set on Jimmy Kimmel.
Yes.
That's my ambition.
To be a part of it, to be included in that.
Yeah.
I mean, I know so much about that dumb game now. And after playing the beta last week, like I didn't have it out of my system. So then I went in, that Guild Wars has all these new free campaigns that are are very high quality for being free new campaigns that are stitching, doing some final stitching to together of the two games, of taking the original campaigns and connecting them to the sequel. And I was playing those for hours last night, and they are weird campaigns. There's some weird thing. I'm like, this is the strangest thing I've ever done in this game, like trying to find picnic supplies for one of the guys.
That's what
to
I wanted to ask you about earlier this week when you were talking about, is that because they had said that they were going to change all the stuff. Like,
yeah.
Now, my experience with MMORPGs is limited, but you like with DC Universe, you'd said, well, that's basically the idea. You go here, you get this, you do that, you beat these guys, and then you do that. And is it still that same kind of idea?
Or yeah, good question. Yeah, because I often think about MMORPGs or games in general. How are we doing on time over there?
We're great.
Great. Is that it's a little like a shark, right? Like in games, all you are is a shark. Meaning that like a shark experiences the world through its teeth. That's all it is. It's a floating, spinning, swimming pair of teeth, or thousands of them. So if it's never seen something before, thousands of teeth. I said pair of teeth. I didn't want to be.
It was funny to watch you have the realization. Like
no, it's so
pairs
many.
Of no, there's thousands of
there's
them.
Thousands of teeth.
That's the closest to looking like a pothead you've ever had in your entire
life. I've had three beers. I had a shot and two beers. One and a half. Anywho, I'm drunk. right, so if a shark sees a boat and doesn't know what it is, it doesn't come up and like check it out, roll it over on its side, smell it. No, it bites it, and that's what it knows what it is, and that's how. So it doesn't.
Weirdly enough, that's also what a 1-year-old does.
Right, exactly, yeah. And that's what it is in games. It's like if you want to experience a story, if you want to tell a story, the only tool that your character has in a game is to shoot at it or kill it or slice it with a sword. That's all you can do. And so game developers, I think, try to figure out more ways to apply killing things to something. And you see it in like the tutorial of first-person shooters. They're like, well, we got to get them used to shooting a gun, but we don't want to start with shooting a guy's head off, so you'll shoot these bottles.
Yeah.
The first-person shooter, like how many times have you started the game by shooting some bottle?
Shoot
good
a target.
Job. And you never do it again for the rest of the game. Boring. But it's to vary the gameplay a little. So Guild Wars 2, the first thing you do is this very quick tutorial. It goes by very quick, and they're like, it's very rewarding. Great cinematics, everything. Oh, you saved the day. Okay, wake up the next day. Great. Continue on with the story. And then you go out, and they're like, they just say places on the map. Like, these guys are going to need some help over here. These guys are going to need some help over there. Don't wait for an invitation. Just walk over there and start helping. And sure enough, you walk over. Little screen pop shows up and says, hey, help this person out. Collect these things or do whatever. So it's very funny. In one of them, I was like, these guys have really done some subtle work. So the first thing, you come into this orchard and these people are like, you can help by collecting apples for us by shaking trees. So you hit a tree, things, and then you pick up apples and then you have them in your inventory and you walk over and give it to them to help them bake a pie. Bam. Or there are spiders in the trees, and you can squash their egg nests or kill the spiders. So you can do that at the same time, too. And then randomly, while you're there, an event will happen, and spiders will show up, and they're just like, oh, there's a wave of them for some reason. And then it's great, because Nolan North is actually one of the voices of the guys that are giving out the campaign. And there's two people just having a conversation, and they're giving out like tree facts and something, and then Nolan North goes, huh, I didn't realize how many spiders you had in your orchard here. How'd that happen? Because it's just like an endless fountain of spiders coming out of the thing. But the thing that I was really impressed with, and it was very subtle, and I wondered, it can't be an accident, and I wonder how many people have picked up on it. But because you walk into an orchard, it forces you to bring your camera down closer to the character, because you can get, when you play MMORPGs or any game, right, you find the angle that you prefer and you lock it there. You play Skyrim, if you decide you're not the first person angle, you like third person, you leave it there. You never find a reason to move it back again. And this, they like, if I had been zoomed out the whole time, I walked into that orchard, I couldn't see a thing because the trees blocked the camera. And I was like, you did that on purpose. You made them low. So it forced me to vary the camera angle on my own and thereby create a new experience within the game that then later I'll probably reverse it. But I'll remember that because it creates like camera angles.
Another level.
Exactly. It's something different to it. I'm like, these guys are really innovating something different and fun. I need to stop talking about Guild Wars. Seriously, though, Arena.
Do you really think the listeners hate this?
No, I'm just saying, like, Come on, get over it. Here's the other thing.
Why get over it? Get it all out of your system. Then you
it's
can
so
get
great.
Over it.
Well, we don't know when the game's going to come out, and I'll probably have a million
here's
other
what
things
I'm
to
saying.
Say about it.
You could have somebody who's listening to the show because they like Sly 4, and then you could expose them to their new favorite game. Like if you this is your pulpit, like or that's
yeah.
not the right word.
No,
is
that's
the right
it.
Word?
Yeah, that's right.
You like this is where you could get up on a soapbox and say, no. "Hey, this is what I like. This is what I do." I mean, everybody who listens to the show says they came here, you know, because
well,
they
Guild Wars 2.
Yeah, they like your voice. And then they also like the fact that you also like games and you're one of their favorite characters in games.
That's very sweet. Thanks. Just go on.
no, I mean it. Like, why not? Go until you're
all
done.
Right, I'll geek out. Well, because we had other things we wanted to talk about. And
endless topics.
I wanted to create.
This is relevant now because a beta just happened.
Packaged
when does it actually come
episodes.
Out?
We don't know. That's the problem, is that GameStop. Or the only you got me again.
I like no. I just like that's the problem.
That's the problem.
That's the problem with the world we're living in today.
That and AIDS.
Screw world hunger.
AIDS.
But really, it's like
orphans don't have water.
It's like Guild Wars 2 release date. AIDS. Orphans not having water.
Serenity got canceled. Firefly rather.
Guild Wars 2 release date. Serenity getting canceled. AIDS. Yeah. Orphans without water. Mm-hmm. The Middle East. Yep. When is the new Ninja Turtles coming on Nickelodeon? Like, those are the top five
pretty important.
World problems. Yeah. I mean, now that we got rid of Bin Laden a couple years ago, or what, a year ago?
Yeah, he was like three.
Yeah.
He was 3 years old.
I mean, that's also the thing about it. This is 7 years we've been waiting for the release date of Guild Wars 2.
Five.
How long have we been waiting for AIDS to get over with?
Like 30 years.
See? People get tired
of waiting. I almost broke the whole podcast.
People get tired of waiting, and they've moved on. You can't wait for something for 30 years and expect something to happen.
Listen,
that's how Guild Wars climbs the ladder.
Listen, Ricky Gervais. Uh-huh. You just dial back the AIDS jokes. Are you watching Life's Too Short?
I didn't even bring up AIDS.
Are you watching Life's Too Short?
Not if we're going to talk about that instead of Guild Wars 2.
Have you watched it at all?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Okay.
The best part of watching Life's Too Short is explaining what Warwick Davis is to my son.
Oh,
my 3-year-old son has never seen a little person in his life.
Oh.
And he thinks he's a little boy.
Oh.
And you have to like, no, that's a man. No, he's not. He's little. Like,
because you don't watch that stupid dwarf show anymore.
No.
That reality TV.
No. Well, it's not funny. Stupid. Hold on.
We're talking about Guild Wars.
Yeah.
So in Guild Wars, the other thing that's great about it is that they really they have their 8 professions, and from what it looks like is that all 8 of them are accessible through all 5 of the races. So if you're, it doesn't matter which in World of Warcraft, if you were one of the like evil people, you didn't have access to all of the different races. Like no one race had access to all the different classes or professions.
Like, am I right in that if you, when you play Skyrim, you could play all the storylines no matter what your character is.
It just varies
a little bit what your experience is.
Yeah, but more like if you choose to be an undead in World of Warcraft, you can't be a paladin, which are like godly healers because they're undead and they're evil, so they don't have access to that profession.
Well, this is my next question. Good.
So you can't mix in World of Warcraft, you can't. It creates more variety and it creates a little bit of a distinction, so you can't have access to everything in one group. But in the first Guild Wars, to vary their gameplay, they actually allow you to choose one profession and a secondary profession because they didn't have multiple races. So everybody is
everybody's
a human. So then you're a human, or you're an elementalist monk, or you're a ranger warrior, or a warrior ranger.
You're a ranger who minored in elementalist.
Exactly, it's like a minor, and then there's some perks, some like mathematical perks that you don't get by having your minor as opposed to your major.
Tell me if I'm interrupting you.
Not at all.
But here's what I think would be fun for the people listening. It's like, say I like a platform game like Sly, or I like World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
Why would I prefer Guild Wars, or why would I?
It's a good question. Yeah, yeah. I think that this game, it's free, so you buy it.
You buy the game itself.
That's it.
And there's no subscription.
No subscriptions.
Like most MMORPGs.
They're moving towards a micro economy system where you can either spend time or money to buy upgrades. So they have a philosophy where no one should be outpaced because someone else decided
it's
to spend money.
It's a full-time job and 2 children.
Exactly.
That they
or the
touch.
Other, like if you have disposable income, then you can buy the gear you want, which excites me because there are times.
I never understood why that wasn't a thing.
I think that early on, people didn't think that people would spend more money on it. That it looked like the way way to get the money was subscription based, and now it's proved. I think it's going to be great the other way around. Like,
yeah, I think what the market is learning is that there are devoted fans, mm-hmm. and then there are ancillary fans, yep. and then there are people who are just dipping their toe
because
in the water.
I will play the game for several hours, despite the fact that I'll have a child, and I will invest all sorts of time into it. But I guarantee there will be a point where it's like, well, all right, to get that armor right. suit.
That's what my next thing was. That
I could spend $3.
Within those varying levels of commitment, there's also the variation of what they are committing.
Because it's better than Farmville, right? Mm-hmm. And we see that the microeconomy system works because you can play draw something and spend $1 to get more colors on your palette to play a game that you don't even need to play.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I just want to make it clear that I don't mind, because I've got some games going with some listeners. I don't mind if you nudge me to play, but don't get pissy. And I don't think that anybody's putting those notes in there, but sometimes I look down at my phone and it's like, so-and-so wants you to play now. And I'm like, oh, really, so-and-so? And then I had to remind myself, that's the game. Somebody wrote that. They're just saying, hey, don't forget to play. Just trust me. I will play. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not leaving you. It's just, you know, sometimes daddy gets a little busy being a daddy. And I don't want to draw pictures for you to confuse you.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry.
Back to Guild Wars 2. You're right. So in Guild Wars, I think the fact that it's a free game, it's worth you checking it out. You know, it's going to be, I don't know what the price is, like $60.
But I have to pay the $60.
You have
there's
to
no
pay the
trial.
60. No, there's, at this point, there probably will be like a free trial weekend, a little, even Star Wars has free trial weekends and it's only been out for 3 months. So
now say obviously Guild Wars 2 is amazing. So how do I dip my toe in the Guild Wars 1? Like it was
that you can get on Steam for like $5 right now. You can try the first one. You can get the whole trilogy plus the expansion for like $20 and you can have it all. And then if you were dedicated before Guild Wars 2 comes out, you can give yourself benefits for Guild Wars 2. Because I've achieved so much, I have I'm a level 17 out of 50 benefits that I will get when Guild Wars 2 comes out, because my account is reserved for me in Guild Wars 2. So my character names are also reserved for me in Guild Wars 2.
Outstanding.
Yeah,
that's
so
really
I don't
smart.
Lose my characters. That was something they kind of promised very early on, which is great. So the eight professions, I think, are varied and kind of different. And the thing that I think is super fun that is different for MMORPGs is that whatever you're holding in your hand changes what your abilities are. You're probably familiar from just seeing commercials of World of Warcraft or any of those. There's like that skill bar on the bottom. World of Warcraft has like, it's just ridiculous. You can have like 50 buttons on your screen and then you can have them hotkeyed all over your keyboard or whatever. In the first Guild Wars, you had 8 and it was sort of like a, like playing Magic the Gathering. You have a deck of skills and you decide which 8 you go out into the field with. And you can't change it once you're out in the field until you come back to home. In this game, in Guild Wars 2, it's whatever's in your hand that changes. So literally, like I love playing as an elementalist. That's my character. So they change attunement, so you can be attuned to fire, or and then like 4 different fire skills show up, and then I can change it to air, and then 4 different air skills show up, and I can't switch between the two quickly. But if you're a ranger or a thief, you would have a gun in one hand and a knife in the other, and that would change if you switch them and put a knife in one hand and a gun in the other. It changes what skills and what abilities you have. And then there's stuff around you. So if I'm an elementalist and I pick up a rock, I then have the ability to throw the rock or throw the rock as a meteor and make it come down as a fireball.
Using your elemental skill.
I use my elemental abilities. So
a ranger would only just be able to throw a rock.
Okay, yeah. And so you pick up, there's a little mini things like help feed the cows or whatever, and you pick up a bucket, and then you have the ability to splash water. You splash the water, splash the water, splash the water. You pick up a hoe, you can garden, and that's your ability for a little, like, okay, until you drop the thing. The thief has the ability to, instead of attunement or changing weapons in their hands, the thief has the ability, if they're near an enemy, you hit it, and you steal something off of them, and then you're able to use it against them. So these centaurs were attacking us. Rah, 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 rah. When I had my thief.
Horribly voice act.
Yeah, I was like, where is Kevin Miller? so I use my thief ability, steal their nets off of them, take it out of their satchels, and then throw it back at them and make that. So I essentially steal one of their abilities and send it back at them. Great little details. Plus, the game is artistically different than any other game before. I think they're embracing the fact that the game doesn't look like photorealism. So they even say it in the like the
it looks animated.
It looks illustrated, not animated. Like World of Warcraft has like a cartoony feel to it. This looks like a sketch or like a painting, a rough painting. So the interfaces of the game are that kind of like rough, blotchy paint strokes. The maps are that same sort of thing. The characters kind of have that feel of being painted, and then
in the same way that kind of Sly has a almost like a comic
an
book
animated
look.
Yeah, comic book. But then the powers that happen around you look like a comic, like you know how Spawn or Venom would have that like liquid kind of thing. When you're the thief or like you the necromancer, you go into the shadow world ability, you become this like blotchy ink animated palette that's going, that's moving all around, and wispy shadows and grades and shades, and it's very cool looking, and it's different than anything else before. You look at the trees and they look like somebody just did paint strokes to make the trees happen. You look at the city, you look at the clothing and everything, it looks like a physical painting on the screen, as opposed to being, you know, just cel shaded or trying to develop a, you know, a palette that doesn't exist in reality. You could take a picture and go, oh, that's a painting. If you had a serious enough computer, you could take a picture and be like, oh, this looks like a painting. Mine doesn't until I get a new upgraded video card. So that's what I need to do.
So if I like a platform game, why would I like Guild Wars 2?
The thing that would appeal to you if you like platformers is it's a game that never ends. So unlike platformers, you know, there's an end storyline. This, it would never end, but there's always fresh, new, fun, exciting missions. And this kind of moves like a platformer.
There are bosses, which I think...
Yeah, there's mission, and yeah, exactly. There's like an arc to it. You can jump around like in a platformer. This, in Guild Wars 2, you can move and shoot at the same time, which is really good. Like, I'm firing a gun and strafing to the side. And if you're into first-person shooter, you can zoom the camera all the way in.
Are
and
there
get in
puzzles?
There. Yeah, absolutely. There are puzzles in there. Yeah, and I think the ability to customize your character is what MMORPGs are always going to be about. The ability to kind of fully invest yourself. I mean, I've been playing my Guild Wars 1 characters for 5 years, and I'm actually very sad. I will continue to play the original Guild Wars even when Guild Wars 2 comes out because they're still a part of like they're my buddies. I've known these guys for 5 years. I've known my main character. Like, we've been on some adventures together. We've done some stuff together. And even though I will continue the legacy down the line with my great-great-grandchild.
Of course.
It will always be connected. But what I wanted to ask you is what genre... Like, so, World of Warcraft...
We have
World
to wrap
Warcraft,
it up, so you know.
Yeah. World of Warcraft, Guild Wars, fantasy, right? Mm-hmm. Star Wars, sci-fi, fantasy. Champions Online, superhero.
Yeah.
What genre would it take to get you into an MMORPG? Or... What genre is untapped? Because the folks that made Champions were also developing another genre of MMORPG. I don't even know if they're still developing it, but I'll tell you that after you take a stab at it.
The thing that makes me think of that's untapped is like the sports world.
Oh, like, go on.
Like, I feel like there's enough in there to where you could have an MMORPG where you become, like, it's what I think people who play Madden would like for the superstar mode to be. I haven't played.
But to play that game, you don't get to go adventuring through landscapes.
Right.
You play a game of football.
And you practice, and then like it's limited. I did one, and it's like, oh well, this isn't what I want. Because what I wanted was I wanted to enjoy the football game that I like, and I wanted there to be a story, and I wanted to develop a character, and try to see if I couldn't guide him and vicariously grow into becoming a superstar. Like, that's what I wanted. What you get is
that
a calendar
like,
where you just say, oh, I will commit to being at this autograph signing. But there's nothing that you have to do. There's nothing that you have to navigate or negotiate.
You're describing like WWE Raw,
yes.
But yeah. with football instead of wrestling matches.
That's why there was an article that I think I saw in Game Informer or something where it's like, if you like these games... You might also try these kinds of games. And it reminded me that I do enjoy the wrestlers. Like, I didn't like it this recent one because it moved too slow, but it's also because I don't know enough about how to do it right. Like, it gives you the ability to create your own story arcs. But there was a wrestling game that I played a few years back that I just liked the idea of getting to choose who was my arch rival
and
how that affected. And then I would go into a match, and then those people would jump in and try and defeat me. And I really like that aspect of the wrestling game. And so, as somebody who likes racing and somebody who likes football, I would like for that to be the case too. Like, I think that's what, rather than invite, like, one of the things that NASCAR did that I thought a while ago was they let you go through a career mode, and then you would get to fight and perform to get to race for, like, Hendrick Racing, which is essentially like the New England Patriots of NASCAR.
But the what you're describing,
the New York Yankees of baseball.
You're describing RPG and not the MMO part of RPG.
Right, but I think that that's definitely applicable. I think that you could just as easily do that, and I don't know how, and this, you know, being put on the spot right now, but I think that...
Fix it, make it good, go.
I know, right? I think that I think that it's definitely feasible, because here's the thing, like, you have different rooms or servers and all that stuff. Not everybody's existing in the same plane at the same time within the game, right? So, because my first thought was, some people want to try to play an offensive tackle. Some people just maybe want to be a GM. Maybe they want to be a head coach. Maybe they just want to be an offensive coordinator, and they want to develop that and help other people become better. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think there's room in there for that level of gamer, because there's MMORPGs are reserved for the people who stereotypically, I think, are trying to, you know, live outside of their world and live in a fantasy world. And that there's gaming became prevalent and popular when it kind of became appealing to jocks, where people who were into sports and football.
I wanted to talk about that.
That it became mainstream after that, you know, and that and that's kind of what kicked it into high gear. And I've read multiple articles that have referenced that Madden has brought in a new style of gamer and a new person.
Made it cool.
To gaming, and made it cool that was never there before.
Yeah.
So I think it would be fun, because like me personally, I would like to be, I would like the idea of maybe starting my character off as a second string quarterback, or and he maybe becomes a head coach, or and then works his way up to being a general manager of a team as things open up. And then if you make that into an MMORPG as opposed to just an RPG, then it you have to wait for those opportunities to arise, or so I don't know, maybe that's how it works out, but that's just what comes to my mind off the, that to me seems the only genre that isn't tapped. That, and I think more of like a modern like soldier. You know what I mean? Instead of it being like, oh, I wield an axe and I ride a gigantic tiger, why not be able to start off in the Navy, like make these Call of Duty games into massive multiplayer role-playing
games. That's a great idea. That doesn't exist.
No. Huh. Not that I know of, at least. Like, you get online Call of Duty, you do a first-person shooter, but imagine being able to have the depth, because everybody's into these Call of Duty games.
Yeah.
You know, imagine being able to have the depth of, you know, working together with an entire group or a guild, and you're the staff on a, you know, some kind of battleship or something. And
that's a great idea,
you know what I mean? Or a bomber squad that goes off, you know, like, that's... Because that's always what I liked about SOCOM, was that there was a team aspect even when you played online. And that you could, you know, you'd make friends and everything. And that was always what was missing when you just played the game on like a campaign mode.
I dig it. I think that makes a lot of sense. I think you've tapped into something. Well, let's pitch that.
We have to delete this episode and now build our own gaming developing thing. Can we wrap it up? We're way long.
Yeah, the other thing, these 30-minute episodes are impossible. the thing I was going to say is I think it was Cryptic Studios, the folks that make Champions Online, a while ago had pictures of a new project that they were developing. From what I can see in my ability to check the internet real fast is that it doesn't exist anymore. But they were developing an MMORPG set in the Treasure Hunter universe, and they had pictures of like werewolves and mummies and that kind of thing. So Uncharted. Mm. So you would be able to develop a certain type of treasure hunter. It looked visually very similar to the Mummy movies.
Yeah.
So you'd be, and then you'd go to like ancient Aztec ruins or fly the world and do the Indiana Jones. Do 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 do. That's a pretty cool genre of film that hasn't been turned into an MMORPG, because it essentially is right now fantasy. And then finally, a little bit of superhero is being poured into it as well, and some sci-fi.
Yeah, because the one I would like would be the superhero one, because I really like the concept of DC Universe, and I start off with a lot of like love and ambition, and then I just kind of faded away to losing complete interest.
Yeah, because it's plastic.
It's repetitive.
It's
There's nothing really deep that's in there. It's just
going
it's they did what I would have said, like in the sense that I'm like, oh, it'd be really fun to play an MMORPG with a superhero. I'm like, oh, let's give them an MMORPG with superheroes and let's throw on the DC license. That's all they really need.
Yep. And done.
Which is great, but in a situation like Guild Wars, they don't have a license to lean on. So
they
have
get
to build
develop it their own, and they have to make a great story.
They also have to build the game. They have to. It's not like they get to. They have to. There's a lot there in a DC universe. There's a lot there in a Marvel world. Mm. There's a lot there in your own fake superhero world, I think. It's not going to be as easy to pull people in, but when you're in like a Guild Wars situation, you have to build a world from scratch and build it so that people are like, yeah, I want to get in on this. I have
fans.
No existing interests, and I'm going to walk in just to be like, okay, I'm on board kind of thing.
That's how far over are we?
We're way over 15 minutes.
We should just keep going and call it two episodes.
All right.
Okay, whatever.
So what you want to do?
Bomb.
I know what you want to do. So
what
we
best?
Made it through.
I didn't get my big news.
I know. We said we were going to talk about fighting games. We did not do that.
Didn't do that.
We said you were talking about your big announcement.
This is what happens when you drink.
We did also talk about...
I can't wait another week. I got to give the announcement now.
More? You want to do it now?
Yeah. Okay. This is the bonus track.
Bonus track.
So we have a competition for you. We're excited to unveil.
Oh, boy.
Kat is pregnant with our first son.
So, wait. So here's... Because we talked about giving away my Xbox to one of the listeners. I already gave away my Red Ring of Death Xbox, which you and I need to sign and send off to Vince. And I'm a jackass I'm saying his name wrong, but I think it was Vince. I said if I win the Clorox thing, I would give away my Xbox. I did not win the Clorox thing.
Yeah,
that's not your fault, but I would be willing to put it up for this
Why are you giving away your Xbox?
Because I'm going to get a Wii, and I don't play the Xbox, ever. All I do is play my PlayStation, and I would be...
Don't give it away. I can't let you do that. That's silly. We'll give them a gift certificate.
to an Xbox?
Sell your Xbox on eBay while it's still worth money before the 720 comes out or whatever it's going
to
be.
That's what I mean. I want to say thank you to the listeners, even though it's only one Xbox. I can't give everybody one, obviously, but I don't know. I'll figure it out. Yeah. I'm okay with it because I don't play it. It just sits there. And it was like the backup DVD player that I had in my house, but now I bought a Blu-ray player so that my kid can watch Blu-rays when I take my PlayStation on the road. And so
why didn't
you
buy another PlayStation?
Huh?
Why didn't you buy another PlayStation?
Why would I?
How much was your Blu-ray player?
$60.
Oh, you win.
Yeah. Oh, that's why I see what you're saying. Why not just
get another PlayStation?
Yeah, I get what you mean.
And you can then
it's
he
more
can play
cost effective.
Because I already told my wife when our kids are grown that they will each have their own console.
Yeah.
I said if they're into games and she's like, well, you just want. I said no, you don't understand because you don't play. But if we plan to play a game together, which we will, you can't play it on the same console. You're like, well, you'd play two-player. That doesn't exist. It's not 1994 anymore. There aren't two-player games.
You're going to have to network them together.
Exactly. And I'm not going to wait for him to die, and he's not going to watch me. Like, if we played Mario Brothers, and he's 6 years old, he's not going to wait for me to... I'm going to play a whole level. He's going to help I die. Like, that doesn't sound fun for anybody. No. He's going to lose interest and patience.
I think will be games. Like, I'm excited for my son is 10. And for me, it's different because I liked watching people play games. That's a part of my childhood. So it's going to be like maybe the younger people that listen to the show, they're not going to feel that way because they grew up in online gaming. But... when my son's like 10, I will like to sit and watch him, you know, play through an Uncharted-style game or whatever.
Jacob gets into Guild Wars with me. That'd be great.
And I could watch him play with you.
He needs a PC, though.
He's going to need a job.
He's got 4 years.
That was the other thing I told the guys at Old Republic. I keep forgetting to plug them on our show, but Old Republic Radio, they had me on as a guest. I think it's coming out maybe next week or maybe it's already out by the time you're hearing this. But we talked about Star Wars. It's about the Old Republic video game, and they do a great show. Like they do like a nerd version of Around the Horn. If anybody watches ESPN, it's a show where they have like these sports writers from all over the country, and this guy hosts it, and they each get to weigh in on what's going on in the sports world, and he takes away points. But they have this guy Ivan, who he hosts the show to a certain degree, but he's like, all right, you're going to be talking about the new patch that's coming up. And then they have guys that are experts in like PvP worlds and PvE worlds and social aspects of the game and what's coming up in the new patch and how does this particular area and how is it applied to the Star Wars world?
Because
they have like 8 people on the show and he just like a composer just sits up there and goes, okay, let's go over to you and you talk about what this means to...
We should do that. Yeah. Because that'd be great, because then we could have one person that's in charge of facts, one that you could do color, I can do...
It's a good show, if you like, especially if you like the old... If you're a fan of Star Wars or you're a fan of Old Republic, the game, you should be listening to this podcast. Because they do it...
Should.
I don't know, but I feel like, because I've never really played the game, but I feel like just by listening to it, I'm like, they do a knockdown, bang-up job because they care.
Yeah.
They're very passionate about the game, and they have multiple resources that they bring together into one resource for you, the listener. So,
oh, wow. So that sounds great.
And if you want to hear me crack wise about Star Wars and what's going on, like I got angry about the new trilogy before I wasn't until I bought it on Blu-ray for my kid, and I talk about all that stuff.
Why were you angry? Well, I can't wait to hear it. Yeah. Why were you angry?
Well, at first,
I can't wait to hear it.
At first it was... at first it was that I said, you know, they asked me, they did an episode with me that I got dirty, which is available on my dad podcast or whatever. But because they want to talk about being a dad and a Star Wars fan and how I handle that with my kid. And then I said, they go, what do you think of the new trilogy? They wanted me to have some nerd rage. And I go, honestly, I was just happy to have a movie. I know that people don't like it, but I just don't feel that way. And then I watched it recently on Blu-ray with my kid. And there were aspects of the game that my love, or the movie, the that film. My love of the movies had glossed over.
Which you watched Phantom Menace.
Yes.
Yeah, because
that's the worst thing I've ever seen.
Revenge of the Sith was a good Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
It was a good Star Wars movie. Fits in line. I really feel like they went back and went, hey, this is, like some other people kind of came in and were like, what if we did
Well, if you
this?
Notice, that's what one of the guys on this podcast pointed out to me, is that as those movies develop, you see more and more people being added to the credits and helping him.
Yeah, the first
one was just him by himself.
Because everybody worshipped him like a god. And I think we've talked about this before, but if you watch the Phantom Menace Special Edition, they take you through the whole process of it from early design, and you know, a lot of buzz from every, because it, you know, it'd been 15 years and we're finally getting another Star Wars movie, and why now, and this is going to be great. And that scene where he's in there going through talking about Jar Jar Binks and saying it is all about, he said this on camera in their own making of movies, it's all about Jar Jar Binks. If he doesn't work, this movie doesn't work. We've never had a character this funny in a Star Wars film, end quote. He said those words, and they put it in their making of. So it's not, like, not even like they try to ignore it. He admitted.
He's right in that they have never had a character that funny.
And they've never had a character, and they still haven't.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I feel like...
Was he funny? No.
No.
Because but none of the characters
It's a funny. Guy that knew, like, I want comedy in here. So here are the things that are funny. Farts.
Yes.
Farts are funny. Falling down is funny. Funny talking is funny. Like, imagine if he had the ego to step aside and go beep boop 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 George Lucas for Steve Martin, and Steve Martin got on the line and was like, okay, you want to do a funny character in an action movie? All right, I'm a funny guy.
I'll help you.
Let's see what we can come up with. I will help write situations where this guy can be funny. You wanted to be kind of dopey and dumb? All right. I bet I can work with that.
I want to shoot this sketch and have Steve Martin be like, well, I'll tell you what I would avoid. Any kind of Jamaican floppy-eared rabbit thing. That's kind of hackneyed. Farting. Falling down. I would definitely avoid that. And he's like... Like, and all the guys are like, he cups the mic on the phone. He's like, we got to start over.
Time traveling heroes. We need to go back and fix that.
It's not going to work.
And so, and it was another generation before Star Wars Episode 1 came out. To get back to our big news, and the whole reason why this is a double wide episode is Kat is pregnant with our first son, our first child at all, boy or girl. We don't know. If we have another child, he's from the future. Mm-hmm. So we don't know what to call him. We need your help.
Hold on. Just so you know, the way you sounded, I didn't know if you didn't want to divulge that. So if we have to edit this out. But you are saying you have a son.
Yeah. We're having a son.
First you said boy or girl.
Oh, no.
People need to know you're having a son.
I said it like 10 minutes ago, too, right, that we're having a boy. We are having... Kat is pregnant. We're excited. Sorry we haven't had a chance to tell you yet. We haven't been doing episodes. We're having a boy. We're excited for that. We honestly do not know what we're going to name it. Kat said the one thing, the nomination she will not accept at all is Sly. So it's the first thing she said was, they're just going to say Sly.
I would suggest that you also avoid Bentley or Murray.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
Justin is also off the table.
Carmelita.
Because it would be confusing. Yeah, no Carmelita.
I think that that's the only reason. Justin's a horrible name.
It would be very confusing. Jacob and Jack are also off the table.
Right, because those are my son's names.
Yeah, and other family members. Here are the names that we have to toss out because of family, despite the fact that we kind of like them. John and David are both our brothers. Their cat has a brother named John and a brother named David. My brother's name is John David. So that one's out. And Michael, though it is my middle name, it is my older stepbrother's name. So
Davy Jones.
Davy Jones like is on. Gary and Rick are also off the table because they're our fathers. After that, I'll say anything else is fair game.
So the contest is...
If you come up with a name that we both agree we want to name a human being...
So that makes it into the pool? Or does it have to? They have to get the name?
If we choose the name... Like, we're taking suggestions, is what I'm saying.
So you're going to... Here's my thing.
No one may win. There's a chance that many may enter, somebody may not win. Yeah. No one could win. Whatever.
You're saying I trust and I adore the listeners of the Second Funnies podcast, and I would appreciate their input because maybe they would inspire something that made you and your
lady
friend
because we can't figure it out.
Yeah.
We don't know. So pontificate all you want. We'll take suggestions. We are open to suggestions.
Do you want them via email, via Facebook, via
Twitter?
Let's
do Facebook. However, all those are great. Whatever you want. Call in, leave us voicemails. All that sounds wonderful.
Okay. All right. So,
and if we choose your name, we will do something awesome for you. I don't know what, but we'll figure it out.
I'll give you my Xbox. But or what if the number of, like, do we do Price is Right rules? Like, what if they get the number of letters in the name?
No, here's the deal.
If
you get the name that we want to choose for the first name, your name will be their middle name.
Wow.
Just so we're all clear, that
your
was not a joke.
Your wife is really hoping Sam wins.
Yeah, exactly, Sam. We don't know middle name either. Like, we have no clue. If it were a girl,
but
we have the name.
So everybody knows, though, like, because this could be a long contest. Your plan is to go in there with a list of names.
We're probably going with five names.
And when you meet him, you will name him.
Yeah. All right, we'll do that. If you make it into the pool.
That's what I think, yeah.
Well, we'll give an honorable mention, but the grand prize will be... If you actually come up with the name we
use. Right,
but
if only one of the names suggested to the listener makes the pool, then...
Yeah, we're going to have to make up these rules as we go along. The point is...
I think we're doing it right now.
Over the next few months.
I see.
Suggestions come in.
I see. Standards and practices would hate this.
Yeah, well, we're not giving away a car. Or are we? All of these are possible.
I wish I still had Natalie's dead bug. I'd be like, here, you want it? There you go.
Done. Go. What is with you giving away things? Look, I don't know how you work. We're in one of my many rooms here in my house because I can't get rid of stuff. And I look at all this, and there's nothing in those boxes that I have looked at since we moved in here. And I wouldn't give a single thing in there away. And you want to give away stuff that is actually
when you move,
sellable.
When you move every 2 years for the past 10 years of your life, you all of a sudden go, I have too much stuff. If I don't use it, somebody else could.
Everything in those boxes, those clear, but I see them, and though I haven't touched them, they are memories. I see them, I'm like, okay,
here's the way I see it. I see it as I have an Xbox, right? And that I'm not using at all. But there is somebody, multiple people I would be willing to bet, that are listening to this podcast that either their parents don't want to throw down the money or maybe they can't even afford an Xbox. And they were like, all I really want is an Xbox. They're like, they're honestly 99 cents away from making a Creed video on YouTube because they can't even get like put the money together to get the Creed video. And to me, I'm like, well, because normally I'd be like, oh, I'll sell it on eBay and then daddy will get a little kickback. But it's like, well, I appreciate these guys helping me carry me through to the finals of this club.
Oh, that's
true.
They did something for you.
Right. Yeah, that they...
They've done nothing for me. Nothing.
That's not true.
But what? Name one thing.
They listen to you.
We'd do this with or without them.
Solid point. It's a solid
right?
point. That is a very, very...
I love them. Don't stop.
No,
I'm not saying don't listen.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
You've blessed me through conversation.
I don't think what you said was rude.
No, but I'm saying it wouldn't... Don't need you. You and I would still sit in this room and talk into microphones.
Talk about this, whether they're...
We did it for
it
2 years.
It seems like it adds a little bit of credibility, though, I feel. Like, you know what I mean?
It makes it... It makes
we
it
did
a little
this
less
for a
weird.
Lot of years with like 300 people listening.
And people we knew.
Yeah, and it was all friends.
So
now
I'll take
it
back.
It feels like a show.
All right.
So now they change it from us talking into microphones for arrogant reasons and narcissistic reasons to, oh, we actually have a
we
purpose.
Actually, yeah, people are actually being entertained. You know what? You're right.
Yeah.
Give them your Xbox.
All right, good. That's what we're here to decide. All right, so that was our show. Give us a call, 408-228-4911, or send us an email to show@secondfunniestpodcast.com with all of your name suggestions. Name the Miller Baby. The Miller Baby has no name. And this is a catastrophe in the world we live. You know what? Here's what I'm going to do.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to downgrade AIDS one more notch. And I'm going to bump Naming the Miller Baby up to number 3.
Did you just name my baby Bump Name? Nombre.
So send in your suggestions. Keep spreading the word about the show. We appreciate the hell out of each and every one of you. So on behalf of my good friend, Kevin Miller, it's Justin Worship saying,
okay, bye.